Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Man, liberty takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Wow. I'll tell you what, quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, and then we'll launch straight into the hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use that we're known for. By the way, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time for ride day. You got to dig that. The recap starts now. We talked about the Liberty Conference coming up October 22nd and 23rd, Friday and Saturday at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City. If you go to the website and use Liberty as your code, you get $50 off. Where do you go? WeCanAct.net. Get it done. Incredible guests from there. We talked to Jason Cisneros, who's an entrepreneur, speaker, philanthropist, and a whole lot more. He's a warrior fighting against human trafficking, fighting against domestic abuse in the home, and a whole lot more. He basically says, I'm building an army to ease human suffering. Amen to that plan. We'll help all we can with that. We also had Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com with us, doing a phenomenal job. Honest Money Report, gold and silver updates, and a whole lot more. We talked about, can a, quote, single trillion-dollar coin save the U.S. from default, ladies and gentlemen? Mint the coin. They say an absurd solution to an absurd problem, writes Washington Post. The only absurdity is that we think that fiat currencies work. We know every nation that's tried it has eventually failed and melted down. Why do we think we're any different? The Constitution, the supreme law of the land, suggests, well, let me say it differently. It mandates the use of only gold and silver coinage. Why we violate that in America today is beyond me. We ought to return to the supreme law of the land. But there you have it. It's an outrage. Our guest slash co-host coming up says, hey, man, what if we make a balsa wood coin? You know, two can play that game. What happens, by the way, if Congress doesn't agree to raise the debt ceiling? They want you to believe it's a meltdown of epic proportions, and I agree that it would be. But I also say to do nothing and add insult to injury and pile more debt on the next generation only makes it worse for them. At some point, the cows will come home. The rooster will come home to roost. You will be forced to stop the swig from the economic bottle of false prosperity. You will have a comeuppance. There's no way around it, ladies and gentlemen. So the only question is when and how bad will it be when it goes down? That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we had a guest on, Joshua Phillips, an award-winning investigative journalist with TheEpicTimes.com, doing a phenomenal job. He's also the host of the Crossroads program on Epic TV. So check that out. Josh is also a recognized expert on unrestricted warfare. That's a term that, hey, is used by the communist Chinese to say, look, everything is really a war. Everything we're going to work on getting the upper hand on, whether it's peaceful or not, there is an agenda behind it. And he's an expert on U.S.-China relations as well. So Sam and Josh discuss all things relating to China. Great interview, by the way. We also talked about Glenn Beck says electricity shortages in China means empty shelves are coming to us in America. I pray he's wrong. Predict he's right. By the way, China doubled funding on genetic instruments to contain COVID months before cases and spreading of corona was announced. So they had a heads up. It's been around a lot longer, just like we told you that it was. People mocked us back in the day, but now evidence bears us correct once again. Do you know about the CPP? That's the communist, the Chinese Communist Party, the United Work Front Department. Yeah. Anyway, the Chinese are really overwhelming every aspect of our society. It's a sad, sad tale to tell. And sadly, in America, we're carrying out the communist propaganda, the communist agenda, literally wholesale in America. Sad but true. Go look at the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto and tell me how many of them are alive and well in America today. Anyway, I digress. California, Colorado. That's Colorado, refusing organ transplants to those without vaccines. So the hostility, the hatred continues. They say we're into hate speech. What about when you say to somebody, because I don't agree with you on a vaccine discussion, we're just flat out going to deny you an organ transplant. We don't care if you die. Talk about hate, ladies and gentlemen. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right there in your hospitals. Not kidding. Anthony Fauci funded scientists who plan to create a novel coronavirus in 2018. WND.com with that piece. I'm just telling you, you can't make this stuff up. Los Angeles now passes one of the strictest U.S. COVID-19 vaccination mandates in history. The Epic Times with that piece. We also talked about a group of Senate Republicans, along with the, quote, House Freedom Caucus, sent a letter to top health care officials now in the Biden administration, accusing them of simply ignoring early treatments that could save lives. The Daily Caller has learned the details, and they're just saying, hey, you know what? Why are you downplaying the importance and the utility of early COVID-19 treatments? We know that's been going on. That's why I say they want to kill us. They want us to die. It's evident. And now you've literally got the House Freedom Caucus, along with a bunch of senators, sending a letter to the top brass saying, we know that you guys are withholding early treatments, downing early treatments, dismissing them, making all these early treatments hard to obtain, et cetera. What are you doing? You're killing people. Lives are at stake. Even the top brass in America is admitting what we've been telling you for quite some time now. Biden, by the way, spends another $1 billion to ramp up production of at-home COVID-19 tests, USA Today. So while this is going on and you're denied early treatment, they got $1 billion for more testing. So you can say, yeah, you're sick, and yeah, you have the coronavirus, and, well, the hospitals are too full for you, and if you don't get a vaccine, we don't even care if you die. Rand Paul, quote, I have an urgent warning for all of you. The pandemic is permanent. Joe Biden and Anthony Fauci are planning to keep you under the thumb of COVID restrictions forever. Why do we say that? Joe Biden now saying it's going to take 98% vaccination rates at least. They're never going to achieve that, folks, never. And on top of that, Anthony Fauci saying, I don't even know if you can celebrate Christmas with your family this year. We'll have to wait and see. Is if he has authority to decide who you spend your Christmas with? Wow, ladies and gentlemen. So you can go to all kinds of, you know, Barack Obama parties or, you know, whatever you want to. But if you go for Christmas, I don't know there. See, I mean, these people have lost their minds. They're drunk with power. Pfizer scientists in undercover videos now admit that natural immunity better than vaccination immunity. They're admitting it. They know the truth. And peer-reviewed documents destroys lockdowns now. One of the greatest failures in modern history, this lockdown. Turns out peer-reviewed papers show how bogus it was. They just added insult to injury, just like we told you from the very start. And that's a recap of the broadcast that's still available online. It was yesterday's show, live, of course. But if you go to libertyroundtable.com or lovingliberty.net, the archives are there. It's free, live, and on demand. Spread the word, share it with your neighbors. And with lovingliberty.net, incredible talk shows around the clock. Check that out as well. If you have the heart to donate, please do. Every penny will help us grow our presence in the media. There is an iPhone and an Android phone app that you can download at lovingliberty.net as well. Live and on-demand radio. You can get the archives whenever you like, live shows and more. You can follow the Twitter feed. It's just a fantastic app available now, once again, free. And that's a recap of yesterday's show. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Chris Carlson with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Howdy, howdy. Oh, wait. That was the wrong one.
Hey, Kurt.
Without God's... Sorry. I just had a momentary flashback. Without God, Sam, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
Amen to that. I sure appreciate it. Delighted to have you on the radio with me. There's so much to discuss when it comes to all things liberty. I want to bring up a couple of quick headlines before the segment break. First one, abortions after 6 weeks. of pregnancy resume in Texas after judge blocks new law. So I don't get this. Well, they tried to go to the Supreme Court, who said, hey, we're not going to touch this. The law went into effect, but now the Biden administration and others have found a judge to block it temporarily. Now some clinics are murdering babies still. Some clinics are holding off to see what happens here. This is disaster in America when you literally have, what, the Supreme Court saying we won't touch it, and then other judges blocking it, and states are losing sovereignty to the feds. And I mean, this is disaster, Chris.
It makes me wonder, Sam, how the people can justify giving one individual, a judge in a black robe, so much power over their lives. I mean, why don't they just say thanks, but no thanks? You know, we'll continue to protect the lives of the unborn innocent children in our state, regardless of what injunctions or decrees you hand down from the bench. This is ridiculous. It's called nullification, Sam, and we need to start exercising the prerogative as far as that's concerned. And the fine people, my daughter.
Especially when pro-life is the issue, and literally the most innocent lives among us are at stake. That's the time to nullify now, Chris.
Otherwise, their innocent blood, guess whose hands that innocent blood is now on? The fine people from Texas, and two of those fine people are my daughter and son-in-law. They live in Dallas. So, and I'm sure that they, you know, they obviously wouldn't agree with what's going on as far as the decrees are concerned.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, a whole lot more news the networks refuse to use straight ahead. I, Sam Bushman, along with Chris Carlson on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman, live on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So yeah, this abortion halt, if you will. Abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy resume in Texas after judge blocks new law. It's a shame, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to push back, and we need to do it now. We don't need to just wait on the courts and act like some robed thug, you know, can decide everything on the planet. You know, the judiciary was supposed to be the weakest branch of government, and in rare cases, we were supposed to go to the courts to resolve issues. That was when we felt like the executive branch was out of control, or the legislative branch was out of control. But look, this is the law in Texas, and the Supreme Court refused to touch it. That ought to be enough. But now we need to nullify now, especially on that point. All right, another tidbit headline you might not have heard is now Biden to, quote, restore three national monuments, including Bear's Ears. That's the Escalante Monument, if you will, in Utah, that was reduced by Trump. So Trump made a big fanfare, came to Utah, shrunk the national monuments. I appreciate that, but now Biden just is going to put it all back the way it was, the way Clinton had it. Chris? All right. Anyway, we'll work on getting Chris. In the meantime, this is an example, in my opinion.
Okay.
This is an example where we need to just simply nullify now and say, look, it's Utah land. We're not going to let the feds control this land. They have no authority, no right whatsoever. Go look in your Constitution for the United States of America and look at the list of the reasons the federal government can even have land and how they must obtain land to get it in the first place. And you know what? These monuments are not in the list at all. Therefore, Utah should just simply say, look, you're not welcome on our land. You come on our land and we're simply going to arrest you and put you in the clink. But you know what? States don't have any guts because they're all on the dole receiving, you know, fiat money from the federal government, so they don't have the guts to stand up. But anyway, Biden reversed Trump on this issue, Chris.
Well, that must be the biggest arsenal or dockyard that we've ever seen outside of the boundaries of Washington, D.C., because you're right, it's not in the Constitution. And if Donald Trump had articulated the principle, Sam, behind why he minimized the size of Bear's Ear Monument, maybe the people would have understood why he did it. Instead, he just did it and didn't articulate the constitutional principle underlining his decision. So now we don't know why it was a good decision that he made, constitutionally speaking, among a thousand other things that he did that were good, but he didn't articulate the principle, the eternal principle behind those decisions. Otherwise, the people might have been enlightened and educated enough to oppose it now when Biden is reversing all the good things that he did. That's my issue, Sam, sorry.
Yeah, and my response is reducing it was constitutionally better than not reducing it, but what he should have done is abolished all lands that the federal government is controlling that they have no authority or right
Bingo.
To at all. And the only Bingo. Person really articulating this that I know on the national stage right now besides me is Ammon Bundy running for governor for the great state of Idaho saying, look, I'll abolish all their lands that they pretend they have control of. Look, they're manipulating control of it, but they don't have ownership of those lands. It's not federal government land. Go look at your supreme law to prove it. And so I think that, you know, Trump did better than most presidents. At least he tried to do something. But again, it just gets reversed. And as long as we have these, quote, executive orders that really just have no real law, people carry them out because it's the executive and people think they're important. So you shrink it, you grow it, you shrink it, you grow it. But you're just admitting that presidents have authority over this when you do that. The truth is, neither president has authority over these lands, period, end of paragraph. And any president messing with it or designating these lands at all should be arrested for treason. It's not their branch of government on the federal level. The states have dual sovereignty. There's every reality check to stop this if we just insist on the supreme law, Chris.
And it needs not go any higher than the local sheriffs. The sheriffs could do that based on the constitutional, which they swore an oath to before God. Of course, most sheriffs are probably not courageous enough to do that. I don't blame them. They'd get a lot of kickback, not only from the federal government, but from the state governments. I mean, pushback, not kickback. Yeah, but the state should do something about it. They have a lot more authority to do something about that, and they would probably be respected by the people of those respective states. And it's called nullification again, and it's completely and totally within the powers that the states possess. They wouldn't be violating any federal laws. In fact, they would be violating federal law if they didn't do that, Sam. So it's an obligation, not only a power, but also a moral obligation on the parts of the executives and the legislatures of their respective states. And it just frustrates the heck out of me. And I've told my legislator, hey, you need to start nullifying unconstitutional mandates from the federal government. And he, in principle, agrees with me, but he hasn't done anything to fulfill that expectation on the part of constitutionally minded people, Sam, and it just frustrates me.
Well, it's going to frustrate you because we're going to have more and more violations, ladies and gentlemen, as time goes on. I wish it wasn't so. But we don't have anybody really even standing up for the Constitution, except for a few of us talk show hosts and a few good people. But for the most part, We don't have much of that going on. Our prayers are with the land. Our prayers are with the pro-life issues. Our prayers are with honest money. All those things matter a whole lot. But you know what? When states get tyrannical and abusive, like California, businesses simply start to leave. Yep, they vote with their own dollars as they leave. Turns out Tesla now relocating its headquarters from Palo Alto, California to Austin, Texas. Now, I appreciate going to Austin, but you got one liberal city to another liberal city. But at least Texas is more economically viable and has a business-friendly climate way more than California. So Elon Musk and Tesla rolling to Texas and leaving California, Chris.
A lot of cheap labor coming in from south on the border there, Sam. And, you know, enjoy the red state status of Texas while you can. Again, my daughter and son-in-law live there in Dallas, but it's not going to last. The way Joe Biden is turning his back on the border and allowing illegal immigration just flood in like a huge flood. And like I say, enjoy the red state status there as long as it lasts, because it will not last. And they're making a concerted and very highly organized effort to try to flood that state with people that eventually will become citizens and will vote Democrat, not Republican. Not that the Republicans are much better, Sam, of course. But that's too bad. And I hope he enjoys success. A lot of people are buying Teslas nowadays, including friends of mine.
Well, there you have it. It's just interesting to see what's happening in America, though. I mean, all the things that we've been talking about for the last, I don't know how many years, 20-plus years or more, are starting to come to fruition. You know, we told you people are going to start leaving states as these states get more and more tyrannical. People are just not going to take it, right? And people laughed at us and said, oh, come on now. You know, California is a great place. It's where Disneyland is. It's this, it's that. And now that people are being forced to take vaccinations just to be in the school, even private schools. And then you've got employers being forced to this, and Tesla can't do that, and businesses are just regulated and ratcheted down. You know what? All these things that we've been telling you eventually will happen are starting to happen. So the three national monuments Trump reduced the size of, gone. The pro-life agenda that Texas is pushing for, you know, shut down by a single robed thug. Tesla now leaving California saying, man, we've got thousands of jobs available now in Texas. See ya. Bank of America now increases minimum wage to $21 an hour. They say as wage shortages push up compensation. USA Today with the article. And at the same time, it says this. The same week, Wells Fargo said banks will cut 100,000 jobs due to automation. So, yeah, they're increasing labor costs because they have to temporarily. But, folks, they're working on automation to jettison all this. So you might have a temporary wage hike. It's not really a minimum wage because it's not law, but hey, every one of these big corporations, Amazon, you know, these big banks and stuff like that, Bank of America, whenever they lift wages, it forces everyone to lift wages. And now it's getting hard to even hire people at $15 an hour because there's so many jobs out there. And the employee has the upper hand right now. Employers are struggling to fill positions. And they're ever increasingly having to increase dollars to get it done. Now, that wouldn't be so bad if it was really the free market, folks. But it's not. What's happening is you got the government literally, you know, funding people and giving people stipends to not work and to stay home. And, you know, you've got all kinds of things that are changing the game. You don't have to pay your rent. Nobody can kick you out because they have these landlord, you know, emergency laws due to COVID. I mean, you've got all kinds of, in my opinion, moral hazard manipulating the markets, causing the very crisis we're talking about. But hey, if you're going to go to work at Bank of America, you can get $21 an hour to start out now. That's well over $40,000 a year. Inflation at a 30-year high. When we get back, we'll have Chris Carlson respond to that as well. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Senate voted to increase the debt ceiling by nearly $500 billion in a partisan 50-48 vote on Thursday. The Senate raised the debt limit through December 3rd. The U.S. Navy is reporting a nuclear submarine, the USS Connecticut, hit an object while submerged in international waters in the vast Indo-Pacific region, injuring some of the crew. The Navy did not elaborate on what the vessel collided with or the exact location of the incident. Fewer than 15 sailors suffered minor injuries, such as bruises and cuts. Two of the injuries were described as moderate. Tesla CEO Elon Musk announced at a shareholders meeting on Thursday that the Tesla headquarters will move from Palo Alto, California to Austin, Texas. Tesla isn't the first tech company to leave California. Oracle and Hewlett-Packard Enterprises moved their headquarters from Silicon Valley to Texas in December of 2020. USA Radio News.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
One would think multi-million dollar contracts for playing basketball in the National Basketball Association would be enough to cover the bills. To nearly 20 players, it was not enough, and they're now being investigated for insurance fraud. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau explains.
At least 19 individuals, all but one former NBA player, face charges of insurance fraud under the NBA's health and welfare benefit plan. U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Audrey Strauss, explains how much money was claimed and how much of it was paid out.
The 19 charged defendants submitted approximately $3.9 million in false claims. The plan paid out $2.5 million to the defendants.
Strauss goes on to say the alleged mastermind behind the scheme, Terrence Williams, received around $230,000 in kickbacks.
Happy Friday, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know what? Tesla relocating from California to Texas, the business environment is just too communistically hostile in California. Bank of America increases their wages to $21 an hour due to labor shortage. But at the same time, banks say they're going to lay off 100,000 people pretty soon because they got automation. Wow, you're having a serious problem going on here, Chris.
Yeah, the automation part. But automation is actually a net positive for the economy, Sam, if you think about it. Do you know what the broken window fallacy is? The broken window fallacy states that because more demand for workers creates more jobs, which creates economic stimulation. In theory and on paper, that sounds good, but that doesn't mean we should go around breaking windows just so that we can create jobs, because the net gain in the economy is zero, if you think about it. So automation is actually good. Do you see how the two connect there, Sam? Automation is actually good. It may displace some workers temporarily, but overall, goods and services then become cheaper as a result of automation. So they become more accessible to more consumers. So automation is good, is what I'm saying. That's my final point on that. Because there's always demand for other work elsewhere. You don't have to work at that particular factory. And then once you reestablish yourself in a job, then you've got means whereby you can buy goods and services that are now cheaper because of automation. it actually drives prices down and makes it more available for the general public.
There you have it. I completely agree. And, you know, again, there's always been disruptors in society, in life, in the workforce, in the interplay between supply and demand, or the balance between employer and employee. You know, there's always been that kind of disruption and change as people discover new products, new capabilities, new processes, et cetera, et cetera. And every time that change happens, something else becomes available. You know, so you say, well, man, we have the Industrial Revolution. That's right. We have the Digital Revolution. That's right. And all these things change. So pretty soon you don't have maybe jobs doing what people did then. Now you got robots doing it, or whatever you want to say, or automation doing it. But you've got people that have got to maintain the automation equipment. You've got people that have got to program and create the automation equipment. You got to build the equipment. You got to program it. You got to maintain it. You got to. All those jobs are still available, and they're higher paying jobs than the jobs that were replaced. Maybe there's not quite as many of them, but there's other jobs that it'll come to being. For example, hey, we've automated this process. Now it's better. Let's see who can improve it. So there's inventors and people building better mousetraps, and the list goes on and on and on about the changes in economic reality. But supply and demand is really important, and anything that disrupts or manipulates that is not good. So we'll move forward with that, but I just thought that was worthy of discussion. Those are some headlines that, you know, you're going to see in the news, but you won't get the real scoop on if you don't listen to Liberty Roundtable live. All right, early history of the militarized surveillance state. The American people have been the enemy for quite some time, even though it's only becoming evident to most people now. Chris?
Yes, sir. So in 1957, there was a sea change in government. There was the creation of an organization called ARPA. And I'm sure we've all heard of either ARPA or DARPA. DARPA still exists. So ARPA is an acronym for Advanced Research Project Agency. And in 1957, Neil McElroy, Secretary of Defense under President Eisenhower, said that Congress as an organization would need to cut through government red tape and create a public-private vehicle of pure military science to push the frontiers of military technology and develop vast weapon systems of the future. So I say it was a sea change. It was kind of a paradigm shift, because we had just fought World War II, and we won World War II because of advanced technology and weaponry, Sam. But Neil McElroy, or McElroy, I think that's probably the correct pronunciation, Secretary of Defense, he saw a paradigm shift opportunity for the American government to fight wars more psychologically rather than materially or militarily. So he pushed for the creation of a private public sector innovation in government. And this is extremely dangerous, because whenever you create a private public partnership, you get the worst of both worlds. You get, and I'll just read word for word, when you combine the secrecy of the private sector, Sam, that's the private part, with the money printing monopoly of the public sector, that's the government part, you get the worst of both worlds. Public-private partnerships always result in tyranny. But anyway, it sounded good to President Eisenhower at the time. It sounded good to Congress, and they went ahead and they passed DARPA. So or ARPA, it wasn't Defense Advanced Research Project Agency at that time. They added that later on. So now you've got a financing arm that could basically for which there was no oversight, and that's one of the problems. There was no congressional oversight. Well, technically there was, but there wasn't. That could spend money in the private sector developing technologies that would eventually come back and bite us. And we're experiencing the consequences of ARPA today, in the fact that the government literally has dossiers on every man, woman, and child in this country, and they know exactly what we're up to. They know exactly where our loyalties are. They know exactly who we voted for. They know exactly what we would do if anything ever got out of hand in this country, and they've got our eyes on us. So that was kind of the beginning of the whole idea of what would develop into the ARPANET and eventually into the Internet. Okay? So the Internet...
You got to think about the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against as reasonable searches and seizures. This is the Fourth Amendment 101 kind of stuff. But look, everything they're doing literally has an eye on violating all that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of a gray line for some people, not for me and you, Sam. You know, we understand that anytime the government can access information through our Facebook post or our, you know, our private banking transactions or whatever type of activities we perform on the internet, we know when the government collects, categorizes, and creates profiles on us, that is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. But, you know, over the years, people, well, I mean, what's the Constitution? According to George W. Bush, it's a GD piece of paper, right? So the Constitution definitely applies, but from the very beginning, from the mid-60s is when they were starting to collect information on the American public. So JCR Licklider is known as the father of the ARPANET, or the father of the internet. Okay, so JCR Licklider was a psychologist. While working at MIT, Licklider became acquainted with the work of Norbert Wiener. And we've got to know who Norbert Wiener is before we can understand who JCR Licklider. Have you ever heard those names, Sam?
Yes.
Okay, so Norbert Wiener is the founding father of cybernetics. So cybernetics, I'm going to give you a quick definition, the merging of man and machine. I've got a more expansive definition here. Basically, if you can dream of using cybernetics to create a controlled utopian society, a perfectly well-oiled system where computers and people were integrated into a cohesive whole, managed and controlled to ensure security and prosperity. That's kind of cybernetics in a nutshell. People who think they can control society through control of information.
And by the way, this isn't just a thinking. It's proven that a lot of this has validity. It's not a scientific fact, but it's more than a supposition. It's more than just an opinion or a hypothesis or even a theory at this point. There is truth that significant manipulation of people can be had related to information.
Exactly.
Okay, because you can't make decisions in a vacuum. You can't make informed decisions without information, without the facts, without knowing. And so you can be manipulated into. They can propagandize you over time and deceive you on true principle, etc. So this is not just a theory is the point, Chris.
Oh, no. I mean, it's operational today. You think about the younger generation, how blind they have become to constitutional principles, even compared to the older generation, and we can't brag of much knowledge of the Constitution ourselves. And it's even worse with those that have been going through the public school systems and have been raised on Facebook and Twitter, and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, so Norbert Wiener, and he worked for MIT along with Licklider. He wrote a book in 1940, way back in 1948, called Cybernetics, Control and Communication in the Animal and Machine. And he was the biggest cheerleader. He's actually the founding father of cybernetics. We'll talk a little bit about
it. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. A whole lot more coming in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Chris Carlson on your radio. With God, we can never... We can only win. Without God, we can only lose. Quick pause on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business. These names are people that you need to hear. You need to know of. Okay? After popularizing cybernetics, hey, these people have really moved forward. You hear about these things in the 40s and 50s. That's when this stuff started. Think about it. They're almost 100 years later in their development of how to manipulate people. How to give you the wrong information so that you then become their pawns to carry out their will. Most people in America now are communist and socialist because they've been doing this for nigh unto 100 years. We're talking three generations now, Chris.
And the only reason that they didn't implement it in the 30s and 40s is because the technology was not yet available. And that's where J.C.R. Licklater comes in. So after a while, Norbert Wiener, you know, he was the visionary behind cybernetics. He wrote a pamphlet. It was almost a book called Cybernetics, Control and Communication in the Animal and Machine. He eventually, Sam, became wise to the potential danger of such a system. And then he made a 180 degree reversal in his position of a cybernetic world. And he started warning people, hey, this could get out of control and become dangerous. But J.C.R. Licklater was radicalized by Wiener's cybernetics vision. Where Wiener saw danger, Licklater saw opportunity. And I'm quoting from the book right now. What is difficult to convey in a few words is the almost messianic view carried by J.C.R. Licklater, the father of the internet, of the potential for advances in the use of computers, the way people could relate to computers, and the resultant impact on how people would come to make decisions. And if we're not there today, Sam, I don't know if we'll ever get there, because we are there today. Computers are dictating to us the paradigm into which most people now think and act. Believe it or not, especially people that are on Facebook, that are on Twitter, in those other social media platforms, because they are censoring them to the point where you only see the things that our government wants you to see, at the expense of constitutional principles and our Christian foundation. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in today, Sam. So, did you want to say something about that, or should we go into student protests?
I just want to mention the early history of the, quote, militarized surveillance state started with precursors to the internet. But it started with the research. It started with the understanding of what could be done if they had the tools. And they literally implemented a lot of it by using the media and using what tools they had then. But over time, they have advanced the tools via the internet primarily through InQtel Corp, which is arm of the CIA, through DARPA, through the Department of Defense, and they've basically partnered with universities and private sector big tech companies that come from colleges that are nobodies at first, and then they're made big tech companies by government black op money funding, and they literally created technology around this idea of manipulation and control. And now they have used their technology to implement their wildest dreams. They're beyond their wildest dreams now. But the fact is, they, meaning the deep state, in bed with big tech, in bed with whatever you want to say, the early history movers and shakers, they have declared the American people the enemy. They want to take down everything and hold dear because they've been radicalized to believe in a communist mindset. And the people must be manipulated and controlled to take down the greatest, freest country on the face of the earth. And we look to God as our founding fathers did. Their goal is to supplant and replace God. This is the Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel. I joke. Really moved forward, implemented by technology. They want to put themselves above God, and they're using technology and control of we the people to do it. And we're the enemies in the crosshairs, Chris. That's what I would say about it.
Exactly. Everything you said is absolutely spot on, Sam. And to add insult to injury, let me add this. They are making us pay for our own demise. You mentioned InQtel, and we've talked about this before, Sam. InQtel is another funding arm of the federal government. And I hear people all the time say, well, Google and Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, they're all private companies. They can censor us as much as they want. No, that's not true, Sam. They were funded by us, the taxpayers. And that's the most frustrating point I try to get across to people through InQtel, through the Atlantic Council, through DARPA. They're not. You can't receive government money and then claim that you're a private organization and can do whatever you want. That's not true. And then,
It isn't true. And what is true is everything we point out, then they basically claim we're guilty of peddling fake news or propaganda. And then they declare us an enemy of the state. Yep. And that's why we say the people are the enemy. Anybody who, puts up a warning bell or raises the flag of, wait a minute, hold on now, or is dubbed a terrorist. Their information's blocked. And my response is, if they're on the up and up, if they genuinely have the best interest of the people in mind, why not let the free exchange of ideas have their sway? Okay?
No,
I'm not afraid of them peddling their agenda. Let's expose it. Let's have a transparent, open discussion, an open debate. Let's create the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers equivalent of modern big tech controlling our lives in bed with the military and the collegiate world. Let's have an open discussion about the history of what they've planned, what they've done, and how they've plotted and created technology to back up their agenda. Okay, let's have an open, transparent discussion. They'll never have it because they know full well the truth will come out and the American people will side with us. They will realize they've been betrayed by the very people they've funded with their tax dollars and trusted. But all this is made possible by fiat money. Without fiat money, they could never have accomplished this to date either, Chris.
Yep, that's why I say that the Federal Reserve System is the root. I wouldn't say the root of all evil, but it's certainly one of the major driving forces of the deep state today, because without that money, Sam, without the ability to just print it with reckless abandon, they couldn't be getting away with what they're getting away with today. They would have to tax us, and then we would wake up and say, whoa, why are you taxing us so much? But we will be taxed through inflation to their heart's content. And we don't even recognize what's happening to us. We don't realize that's the result of this corrupt monetary system under which we now toil. And yes, we are the enemy. The men who ran the domestic war room kept records not unlike those maintained by their counterparts in the computerized war rooms in Saigon. Now, I refer to Saigon because originally ARPA was created to win the war that we were then waging in Vietnam. And we were actually waging that earlier than it was declared. Well, it was never declared, that's true.
Before it was even on the radar to the American people via the media, though, is the point.
We had military advisors there in the late 50s helping the French to defeat the Viet Cong. People don't realize. They thought the Vietnam War started in 1965 when it officially did start. But all this technology was justified in the eyes of the military-industrial complex because we were fighting a war, and that war soon became psycho. You should see the list, Sam, of all of the murderous operations, and I've got a list of them right here. Project Agile, the Phoenix program, you probably heard of that, that murdered over 20,000 people in Vietnam. Project ComCom, Project CAM, Project Camelot, the Combat Development Test Center in Thailand. I mean, there are huge stories behind all of these projects that basically were psychological anti-insurgency, to make it sound legit. But what they were is they were brainwashing programs to try, and they were testing these technologies on the Vietnamese people so that they could bring them home and eventually turn the guns on us and create compliance on the part of the American people. But the Vietnam War, I've often wondered, you know, what was the military-industrial complex trying to do with the Vietnam War? Because obviously we didn't accomplish anything positive. But then I realized, as I did this study, Sam, they were testing these psychological weapons on the Vietnamese people to just see how they would respond so that they could fine-tune their weapons when they turned the cannons on us, which they are now doing. So we are the enemy. In fact, in their communications, they often use militarized terms like billeted, like targets on, and these are inner city protesters. You remember there was a program that Mert actually targeted people in the civil rights movement, and they use this military language and they use these psychological weapons as if the American people were the enemy, and we still are. So that's kind of one of the points I wanted to make. Do you want to talk about student protests in 1969?
Yeah, because I think this plays into it. What happens is you get these mindless Americans that have been propagandized, cybernetics, manipulation of all kinds, to the point where they're just literally running with the limited, controlled propaganda they've been given, and then they're literally led to action. And that action, ladies and gentlemen, has consequences. Chris?
Yes, and interestingly enough, now we've all heard about the student protest at Stanford and the various colleges around the nation against the Vietnam War. And we were led to believe, if you look at all the documentary, the PBS series and all that, you know, these were protests primarily against our presence in Vietnam. You know, we shouldn't be there, we're killing innocent people, and that was all true. What I have not learned until just recently, reading the book that I read to do the research on this segment, Sam, is that they were actually protesting at MIT and at Harvard and at Stanford against the development of the ARPANET, the precursor to the Internet. And here are some of the positions that the students were maintaining. They were displaying protest signs that said computerized people manipulation and the blatant prostitution of social science for the aim of the war machine. Until the military social science complex is eliminated, social scientists will aid the enslavement rather than the liberation of mankind. And as I read these, I thought, I never knew that those college campus protests, Sam, were directed against the development of this huge project called the DARPANET.
Yeah, but let me tell you why. Because the propaganda made it all about race. The propaganda made it all about, hey, a bunch of whacked out hippie kids are going berserk and they all want to get naked and have free love and da 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 da. And it's all about gays and it's all about this and it's all about police brutality and it's all about. And they had every excuse under the book except for reporting what many of the students knew. That's my point, is it was propagandized. Now, the problem is the students are railing against something that they know not what they're railing against either. And so they're manipulated to this. There's nothing wrong with computers. See, that's the problem. There's nothing wrong with technology. It's how it's used and it's in whose hands that matter, right? And so, again, exactly. They're deceived too, complaining against technology. They're running around going, computers are the enemy. Stop them. Well, not to common sense people. They're not the enemy. See, and so the students were half right, half deceived. The propaganda from the media obliterated the real discussion entirely. And the fact is the project went on. So now we have big tech, and now Congress in theater is acting like they're going to rein it in and stop it. But remember, their government's the one that built it with the funds that, well, Congress allowed fiat money to be black op money that created the whole thing. There you have it. Sorry if we don't have more time, Chris, but thank you so much for all that you do, sir. Wrap it up, buddy.
Yes, Sam, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
God bless you and all that you do. Ladies and gentlemen, God save the Republic of the United States of America.